You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey everyone, venture into the pop culture cosmos today, where you'll hear our conversations on different topics within the world of movies, TV, video games, comic books, technology, board gaming, and more. You'll also get a taste of some of our other shows within the cosmos as well. So come on and join us each week as we delve into the pop culture cosmos.
Welcome to the pop culture cosmos.
And welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster. I'm back to give you a review of The Black Panther. And joining me today is actually my wife.
Oh, am I?
Legally, you are.
We'll see about that.
Well, in this state, you are legally mine.
Excuse me? Yours?
Yeah. There's I got that one ring to rule you all by.
Yeah, well, you know where my ring is.
Where is it?
Shut up. It didn't work. Okay, let's leave it alone.
So we
the
both...
The Alcami winners.
Yeah, I know. Trust me.
Yeah.
I know. All right, so let's talk about the Black Panther.
Okay.
Let's start off with that.
Okay.
Start talking about the Black Panther.
I liked it.
I liked it too. And a podcast. Great.
No, I don't listen to your podcast.
I know. But you still do my damn podcast.
That's because I like it.
I know.
Because I like the microphone is fuzzy. Jesus Christ. Anyway, so it's too early in the morning.
No. It's all never right. Too early for you to be like this.
That is true. I'm always like this.
Yes.
All right. Black Panther movie. Now, unfortunately, I don't know that much about the Black Panther comic as I do say about fairy people from Bright, which I was not given the opportunity to voice in on. But I do like T'Challa and T'Chaka and all the people of his family. And I do know in some of the comics, there was a time when his sister... I'm not sure how many sisters he has in the comics, but in the movie, he only has one, Shuri. Mm-hmm. But because, you know, they always change things. You know, they do whatever they want to. So either because they don't have rights to everybody, or somebody else owns the rights, or they just don't feel like adding everybody in because it doesn't fit within their context of a script or something. I don't know. Whatever the case is, one of the sisters decided that she wants to be the Black Panther, too. Mm-hmm. But like I was telling everybody, it's nothing, no dig against her. It's just that she does not seem to have the build to be able to be a warrior. Now, it doesn't mean that she can't become a warrior later. You know, she works out and does things like that. But Shuri seems to be the more cerebral of the bunch. You know, not that she didn't fight to help her brother, you know, against Eric Killmonger or N'Jaka, as he's known. But, you know, I was just kind of disappointed in that part. But anyway, whatever the case is, the tech is really, 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 really freaking cool. And, you know, I think it's kind of like, even though I like Lupita, mm-hmm. and I like her character, Nakia,
yes.
That in later comics, he actually marries Storm from the X-Men,
which
is kind of cool. So, I mean, obviously they didn't do that this one. And like, unless they're going to be killing her off, which would suck, you know, because, you know. You don't care, you know, you don't kill off like really cool characters just because you feel like it.
No, but because Disney has bought or in the process of buying Fox, they would have rights to the X-Men.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you could bring in Storm with Black Panther and still have Nakia be because in the comics she is a villain too. She turns to be like a villain.
Oh,
so that could also be like a weird love triangle playing out.
But I don't know. I don't see it.
We're early in the days of this is just the first movie. We still had to deal with the fallout from the Avengers Infinity War coming up, mm-hmm. and then of course whatever sequels come out in Phase 3.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah, I'm kind of worried about the Infinity War thing because of all the pictures of the Asgardians just kind of lying there. I really hope he didn't kill everybody. I hope it's some kind of a weird, like, thing. You know, like, you know how, like, sometimes, like, Loki goes into, like, these different, like, dream sequences or something, like, when he was doing the first Avengers movie? Not that he wasn't there, but that they kind of sucked him in there and everything to remind him of what his place within the Order of the Chitauri and all that kind of crap. So, I don't know.
Well, speaking of Loki, considering he is... to a degree, a villain, but he's more of a pain in the ass that's kind of been lingering around since the beginning of the MCU.
Yeah, that's because he's the trickster god.
No, I know. Yeah. But the question here is that because the franchise as a whole, when you think about Captain America, the Red Skull, and you have Iron Man and what's his name? Jeff Bridges' character. I'm blanking out on his name.
Jeff Bridges' character? Oh, you mean Neo? I mean, Eon or whatever his name is? You mean his dad?
Yeah.
I don't know. Eon. Isn't his name Eon?
No.
Well, we're idiots.
Jebediah or something.
What if his name is not Jebediah?
Whatever that is.
What the hell? This isn't the Bible.
No. But the thing is, the villain problem that has always plagued with every movie is that it's one and done.
Okay.
And it's almost unmemorable. I think with the Black Panther movie, we do have Eric Killmonger, who is something that, aside from having a personal connection to the Black Panther, I think is a little bit more grounded in what's happening today. And even though it is a fantastical story in which there is no, quote, Wakanda, I know, but... what he has to say about
his name is Ego.
What he has to say about Wakanda and the ability to use its technology and its weapons to fight oppression that they've been dealing with since the beginning of time, basically. Yeah. And how that brought in the whole slavery angle and how neighborhoods are struggling. And it was like Wakanda had a responsibility to protect its people.
Yeah.
All people.
Yeah. And I think, so that's the thing. See, okay. I mean, I can see part of the point that you can't spread it along everybody and things like that. But the fact is that the people were being taken by, and the thing is, it wasn't just, it's not like just the white men came in and took the Africans away from Africa to sell them as slaves. But there were Africans who had slaves themselves among their own people and who sold them to the white people too.
Right.
And now, of course, that's not like the white people are like, you know, that we're blameless in anything about this because, I mean, hell, we had slaves and indentured servants and we treat people like dirt just because we feel like it, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and any people are the same, basically, wherever you go. But the fact is that if Wakanda had the ability to be able to protect the African people, because of the amount of power that they had just from all that vibranium sitting underneath them, they could have done a lot more. I mean, the thing is that up to a point, they didn't know what was going on. Because, I mean, it's not like Africa is just like Miami. Africa is it's a continent. It's a huge country. And Wakanda sits in the center of it, okay? Now, the peoples that were taken mostly were from around the coast of Africa. So they might not have even known about what was going on during that time period. I mean, just because the thing sat there forever doesn't mean they knew how to use the technology and the communications right away.
No,
you know,
but they
learned that over periods of time.
But they had the isolationism, a mentality of protecting themselves.
That's true, too. To protect themselves. But the thing is that once they figured that out, they should have done something. Mm-hmm. Once they realized that the oppression that people are going through, they should have done something, you know. With the apartheid, with the thing with going on with Idi Amin, you know. Okay, well, that's not
Africa, but still.
But the thing is that the peoples, you know, the, of the African American peoples, the people that come from other that were from other countries, other nations that stemmed from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of the people who live in different parts of the world, pretty much everything, Africa is a cradle of civilization, basically. Everybody who is alive on this planet, pretty much at one time during their DNA, has their basis of origin in Africa, I believe. Okay, I have no proof of this, but I believe it. Okay.
No, but there's been plenty of like Discovery Channel's specials in which, if you look at the evolution of people migrating through Africa and to Europe and to China, and then the land bridge crossing into America, and then down into South America.
Yeah, because before that, America had no peoples. They all came over from the land bridge, as far as I know.
Right.
I mean. You know, and they find people that are like, you know, 14,000 years old. They find the Cheddar Man,
mm-hmm.
what they call him. I mean, he was dark-skinned. Duh. You know. But the thing is that, and people, what a lot of people don't really think about is the fact that, you know, we're all connected. I mean, nowadays, we're practically all connected technology-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the day, we're all connected because we all basically probably had like the same person. Well, not the same person. It's not like Prometheus or anything like that, you know. But
there is a connection.
But there's some kind of a connection between all of us. You know, right. That's obvious because we're all bipedal. We're all, you know, we're all mammalian, blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever the case is, we all pretty much came from the same source. And the thing is that with the Wakandans, they did not know, I'm sure, everything that went on until much later. But when they did, they had to end their isolationism. They had to, like, make themselves known, at least maybe even subtly, you know. Maybe they didn't have to, like, you know, put it out there like, hey, we have this, we can do this, blah, blah,
well,
blah.
That's why
they could have done other things.
I know. But
you know, not like arm people, like, you know, like the Iran-Contra thing. No, they didn't have to do that. But they could have, like, you know, taught people. They could have, like, given them a sense of pride. They could have, like, taught people how to fight. They could have done something about, you know damn well that we're not going to have anything done about the gun control in this country. But the thing is, they don't really use guns over there. They don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of places in the world where they don't use guns because they don't have to. But, okay, we're getting off topic. Yeah. Anyway, whatever the case is. The thing is that the Wakandans, once they realized what was going on in the world, they should have tried to step in and do something about it, you know?
Well, Okoye was... Okoye...
Okoye's in Central Florida.
Yeah, I'm probably mispronouncing, but she was the one that was coming up. Is it Okoye?
Are you talking about the general?
No, not the general. Nakia, sorry. Nakia was the one talking to T'Challa about how they can do relief efforts better than anyone on Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then...
Okoye.
Okoye. And then later on, he's talking to... Wakabi,
mm-hmm.
And he's talking about, well, I don't want those immigrants because they will bring their problems to us. So it brings in that whole undercurrent about what's going on with the Dreamers, you know, and how you have the immigration problem. So
yeah, but the thing is that they've never been outside of Wakanda.
No, I know that.
I mean, the father, Njobu, brother, whatever, the uncle, he was sent to America as a spy. And supposedly they have spies all over the world.
Right.
Then how come they don't tell them anything about what's going on? Is it like Njobu was the only one who cared? That can't be it.
No, because later on we do find out that there are contacts in London and in China.
Yeah, and there are people that are being oppressed all over the world.
Right. So that's a given. But I think because it came to his brother, T'Chaka's mm-hmm. brother, that was like, how can you betray us?
That's true, yeah, because of the vibranium.
Right.
But still, I mean, well, I think it's because he took too much of a too hard a stance on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of the whole, you know, revolution thing, the whole, like, you know, I don't know, the whatever civil rights movement or something like that mm-hmm. was going on that was not, like, there was the more militant version of the civil rights movement that mm-hmm. was going on. Because that's what people needed, you know. You fight hard, you play hard, you work hard. You know, you have to fight hard for your protection for your beliefs to, you know, whatever, whatever.
Right.
You know?
But in some
it's
cases,
it's not like anybody made it easy on you.
Right. But in some cases, some people have to work twice as hard for the exact same thing.
Yeah. No, that's what I meant.
Right.
You know, the fact is, it's not like, you know, just because the civil rights movement came right does not mean it's stopping anybody from being killed for no reason or getting stopped by a policeman because they look different or blah, blah, blah. Like in the Black Lightning. Just, I mean, I haven't seen the show, but just in like the commercial, I mean, like how many times have they said that he was stopped already by cops? It's like, oh, is this your car? Yes, it's his freaking car. Yes, he has money. He's allowed to have money. He works for it.
Right.
You know, just like anybody else who has money that works for it, no matter what color their skin is, they have the right to own things. You know, just because you're jealous or you don't believe it does not give you, you know, just like people with climate change, you know, it's like, oh, I don't believe this. Like, I don't care what you believe. The fact is the fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody has money, they buy things for themselves, therefore they have nice cars and things.
Right. But okay. If you put a white superhero in a accident situation, they would not get pulled over.
Oh, of course. I mean, duh. It's like you remember in Men in Black when he was talking about how the his cruise control guy, whatever, you know, the fake thing that they put up in the car so that people won't notice that they're driving around or whatever, you know, in some kind of fancy car. And he goes, Was that always your, you know, like the man, what is that thing called? You know, the thing that popped up?
Oh,
autopilot
or something like that
in the car. And he goes, no, we used to have a black dude, but he kept getting pulled over.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sad.
It's a subtle dig, but that's the truth.
No, it's not subtle. Well, because, you know, they don't deserve subtlety. You know, they pull over people for no reason. Anyway, whatever the case is, we're going off topic again.
I just can't stop. It's not so much being off topic. I think it's that because Black Panther has this a lot of different themes going through this that is affecting us today. Hi, Merlin. That unlike any other superhero movie, again, it's a little bit more grounded and it's a little bit more real. Hence why when we talk about, sorry, I gotta bring the cat down. All right. When we talk about Black Lightning versus the other DC shows, the stuff that he's dealing with, the Flash would not have to deal with. Arrow does not have to deal with. Yeah. Supergirl does not have to deal with. But Black Lightning is dealing with stuff on a local level that it's...
Yeah.
It's now. And that's just what I like about this.
You know what? In New Frontier, that cartoon, he was dealing with it because they thought that Flash was a commie.
Yeah.
Because it's taking place during the McCarthy era, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Or something. So, like, because he was wearing his red jumpsuit or his red pajamas, whatever they want to call it, it's like, oh, this guy must be a commie, whatever. Because there wasn't a lot of superheroes out at that time. Superman, yeah. Of course, Superman's like, everybody loves Superman. But, you know, people like that, it's like, oh, well, who's this guy? What's going on? Oh, he must be communist because he's wearing red, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's not exactly the same level, obviously, because, you know, he's still white, so he still gets white privilege, you know? But... You know, there's still the, during that time, there was a dig because of that. But, I mean, sorry.
But, again, when you look at even Luke Cage, you know, Luke Cage is dealing with stuff on a local level.
Yeah.
And.
Even with his own people.
Yeah. And I appreciate those kind of stories on that kind of level that is represented. On the small screen and on the big screen, because we don't get to see that. Yeah. So one of the things that I took away from after watching this movie as we were leaving, it was like, I guess it was a black family that was walking next to us. I was talking, hear them talking about Killmonger, how much they liked him as a villain. And they were just happy to have just seen this Black Panther movie.
Yeah.
You know, we saw one of them wearing the Black Panther t-shirt. And I'm like, that's a kind of representation that has to happen. Because when you look at Wonder Woman, and I heard everyone who
I love Wonder Woman, happened to be a woman. We had a Wonder Woman movie.
Right.
For years, we've been trying to get somebody to play Wonder Woman.
Right. So when I hear women cheering, that's what it feels like. When you hear a black audience cheering for Black Panther, that's what it feels like. And it should feel like that. Everywhere, regardless of the color, but because it's always been predominantly white male characters taking the lead, that's all we had.
Yeah.
So for all of a sudden saying, you know, where's the pushback about, well, why can't this be a White Panther? You know, why does everyone has to be all black?
Nobody said that, have they?
No, but the idea here is that because there's always going to be resistance.
Yeah.
You know, like, why does February have to be Black History Month? Where's White History Month?
That kind of thing. Every freaking day.
Right. Okay. Exactly. So it's
know. It's always like that because nobody can, like, let anybody have anything.
Right.
And plus, it's not like we, you know, it's not like they let anybody have anything. I'm sure it took quite a while for Black History Month to be established.
Right.
You know?
So I was like,
it's like anything.
Can't we just let this be as a win? Can you just let one go and let this be a win for someone else?
See, it shouldn't just be one. It should be everything.
I know. But that's, again, and that's hopefully the start of many good things.
It gets me so mad.
I know. But it's hopefully the start of good things because, again, the movie is doing, you know, well over $200 million.
Yeah.
On its opening weekend.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, Wonder Woman killed it.
Right. So, again, you have an untapped market that shows you put a product out there that focuses on this kind of hero for an underserved demographic, you're going to get that support. Now, on that same token, and where do we see Hispanic superheroes? There's none that I can think of other than
El Dorado, which was kind of lame,
right?
And actually, what was his power?
He had a cloak of invisibility,
which is cool.
But that's all he does. He draws that cape like he's Dracula, turns invisible, and that's it.
Well, there has to be more than that. There has to be.
He has no shirt. He's buff and has no shirt and has a cape.
Well, he was nice looking. Okay.
He's a cartoon.
Oh, he was a cartoon. Whatever. Leave me alone.
It's not like it's Peter Parker from Amazing Friends.
Oh, well, it's not like, you know, every other, like, female, you know, Disney character you've had a crush on.
I have no problems. I'm not denying it.
Then why are you bugging me about Peter Parker?
Because you're blushing.
No, that's rosacea. All right. Anyway, so thank you.
And high blood pressure.
Thank you for putting myself. Yeah, and high blood pressure. Thank you for putting myself up there. Thank you.
But anyway. Miles Morales, who is half Hispanic, half Puerto Rican, half black.
Yeah.
But that's about it. I don't know of any other.
There has to be more. There has to be. I can't think of any more. Oh, you know what? You didn't mention Ion.
Yeah. There was a comic by Dwayne McDuffie, I believe, who passed away. Well, Dwayne McDuffie started.
He passed away?
Yeah. Oh. Several years ago. And he had, I think it was Milestone Comics. Milestone was bought by DC and actually brought a couple characters over.
Oh, good.
And
I remember, Ion was like freaking awesome.
So it's one of those. I'm like.
Did you check it out for me? Because I remember reading it too, but I don't remember where he got it from.
It might have been.
Just a library system thing.
Yeah.
Because Palm Springs North had a lot of comics.
That's the kind of thing you don't get to see that often. Then you would have black superheroes in their own comics.
Was buff. He was like, and he was an alien.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of stuff that has to happen a lot more. Not just with Black Panther, you know, and I tested the teens I did with this podcast last week about, can you name other black superheroes without the name black in the name of their superhero superhero name, like Luke Cage?
Yeah.
You had, of course, I'm blanking out on the list, but you had Firestorm that's on a DC that's also black. So there was a whole host of characters that you can just simply say, that's their name without having to make the reference to their skin color. You don't call Captain America white Captain America. He's just Captain America.
Well, you know, they also have Falcon.
Falcon, right.
You know.
Rhodey, who's War Machine.
Yeah.
So, again, we want to get to that point in which you don't have to put the word black in front of someone's name being a superhero. It's not necessary. Even in the Super Friends, you would have
Steel's
another one, but Black Vulcan.
Oh, you know what? I'm getting Black Vulcan mixed up with Black Lightning. But Black Vulcan had
the exact same powers. You're right.
Okay, then who's Black Lightning then? Is he DC?
Yeah.
And they're not the same person?
They're not the same person, but they kind of dress similar.
I remember him had this kind of whirlwind thing, like he used to travel.
Well, that might be a Super Samurai you're thinking about.
No, he was wearing black with the lightning thing.
Well, in any case. So I want to get to that point that you would have...
John Stewart.
John Stewart, right? Even
and not from The Daily Show. Right. He was a personal hero.
And you can even argue Martian Manhunter is also black.
Well, in the
because in the show, he is,
which is fine because I mean you know he's a Martian. He had you know so you can do he can be whatever he wants to.
Right.
Because in the actual comic, he was never. Well, in the comic, he was a white cop.
Right.
But that was just because that was the first person he really encountered.
Right. And that's the exact same thing.
So
he encountered an astronaut, I believe, in the storyline. And he chose that representation to be his human form. Mm. And that's the thing. He chose that human to represent him. Not that he chose his color to look like him. Because when you look at what's going on, I'm sure if... A storyline could happen is that Martian Manhunter is dealing with this and dealing with racism because of his skin color, thinking that's completely alien, considering that he is an alien himself who happens to be green.
Yeah.
And people will probably be more accepting that he's green than he is black.
Cyborg,
yep. And even Kid Flash in the Teen Titans, I believe he's also black.
Yes. And Mr. Terrific.
Yes.
Yes.
So, it's all fine.
Firestorm.
That's what I said, Firestorm. Oh, it's fine when growing up to marvel at superheroes and idolize them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got to a point in our lives, being much older, that we need to see that kind of representation to for that next generation to feel inspired, that they can feel, I can be that. Mm-hmm. Just like the little boy who was touching President Obama's hair. It's like, your hair is as the same as mine.
Yeah.
You know, and he was just amazed by that. You know, the fact that
President Obama was freaking cool.
Right.
It's like, there really isn't any villain. There really isn't any hero that doesn't have some kind of alter identity. No, well, the thing is that the king of Wakanda will have to out himself as the Black Panther. So he really doesn't have a secret identity. But most every other person does. I mean, except for Stark now, of course, you know.
Right. Well, that was back in the old days when everyone had a secret identity. Yeah. But the question I have, and I'm glad you brought up T'Chaka.
T'Chaka or T'Challa?
No, T'Chaka.
The father?
The father.
Yeah.
When we were, I think I was watching Civil War after we just finished watching The Winter Soldier. He is talking about the incident that killed a couple of Wakandians and how he still was looking forward to going and present Wakanda to the world. He was still king.
Okay.
Was he still the Black Panther?
Yeah.
So he would have still had the suit on.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he had, if it worked the same way like that one, but yeah, technically he would have been okay, thing is that.
No, the reason why.
In the movies is working different. In the comics, he has to relinquish the Black Panther to get another Black Panther.
Right, and exactly.
But because T'Challa had not yet taken the mantle of the Black Panther.
Right.
Then I'm assuming T'Chaka still was the Black Panther.
Right. So,
but and he was the one who was fighting.
Right. But if we're looking at the...
Oh, wait. No, you're wrong. No, I was wrong. Because he was fighting as Black Panther when he was there, when he was trying to stop whatever his name
Bucky.
Was. Bucky. Bucky and the other guy.
Right.
Whatever.
Right. So that's the question I have.
I forgot about that.
Was that in the Black Panther, you have to take that heart-shaped herb in order to transform into the Black Panther. I don't think that happened when T'Chaka died before T'Challa took over and became the Black Panther himself.
I think what happened is it's different from the Black Panther than it is about the king.
Okay.
He became the Black Panther because T'Chaka was too old to fight.
Right, but then he didn't relinquish the throne. Because then he would have had to...
He could have relinquished the throne any time, but he chose not to. And I guess T'Challa didn't want him to because, I mean, hey, he wasn't ready to be king yet.
Okay. But I guess my question is, did T'Challa take that herb, the heart-shaped herb, before the Black Panther movie, like what happened when he was on? I don't see how he's able to be the Black Panther and do all the things that he does without having those abilities. Because the suit is one thing, mm-hmm. to be bulletproof, and you have whatever vibranium claws.
Yeah.
I don't see him having that super abilities without having that herb. So if you do that, and since it's only given to those who are going to be king, not everyone takes that herb.
Well, you know what? I don't think it is for everybody who's going to be king. I think what it is that you can be king and you can be Black Panther, or you can be king or you can be Black Panther. Because, like I said, the daughter, the sister.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this case, it's called her. She's Shuri. In the comic, I'm not sure if her name is Shuri or she's a different sister or he only has the one sister. In the comic, she was trying to become the Black Panther also.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that in the comic, she has to be blessed, or anybody who wants to be Black Panther has to be blessed by the Panther God. They don't even mention the Panther God in this one, except for the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
when he first appeared to them and whatever, whatever.
Right.
But the thing is that in the book, in the story, everybody who takes the herb, whatever, has to be blessed by the Panther God. Because if you don't, then the herb becomes poison to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be blessed first before you take the herb.
Right.
And she had to prove herself, you know, selfless and, you know, willing to sacrifice herself and things like that for the greater good of the Wakandans in order for her to become a Black Panther. Mm-hmm. But she wasn't going to be king. T'Challa was still king.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a separate thing.
Okay. I just think that because we didn't see this happen, I'm just wondering what was the coronation? Because
coronation also with N'Jaka, you know, when he became the king, he had to dethrone T'Challa,
right.
Because T'Challa was not going
to
give up.
Right, exactly. So you had to have that process to take the medicine or the whatever to become less the Black Panther, to strip away the powers. Do that challenge.
Just like a regular person.
Right. Do the challenge.
Another regular person.
Right. So that's where I'm
and
like.
The thing is that N'Jaka had been trained his whole life. Well, even known T'Challa trained, you know, when you're regular person.
Right. He hasn't had that lifestyle.
He never didn't have like the luxurious lifestyle that T'Challa had, you know.
Right.
So he had to work hard, train hard. He was in the military, you know. He practically was he a SEAL?
Whatever that is,
I don't know.
It was
but
just.
But he had the strength and the power that a person who trained their entire life would have.
Right.
And the thing is that unfortunately, because of the way things, it's like remember in the movie Coming to America.
Mm-hmm.
Now he could fight as much as he can, and like in other things where like or in Commodus in Gladiator, you know the privileged, the kings, the queens, the princes, whatever, they can fight as much as they can. But the thing is, unless somebody's willing to fight against you just as hard.
Like Maximus. Maximus was training all his life.
But the thing is that he wasn't privileged. He wasn't royalty.
Oh, I know.
Was. So the thing is that nobody would fight against him hard enough for him to actually be stronger. You know, he basically would be able to beat the crap out of you, but you weren't allowed to really lay a hand on him unless he let you. And right. Then he could always just turn it around on you, saying, oh, he hurt me, whatever, you know, because he had the power. He was like a god.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. Unless you have somebody who's willing to go up against you on a hit-by-hit basis and fight against you, you're never going to be able to push back, you know, because nobody's going to let you get hurt. Because you're the heir to the throne or whatever.
Right.
So the thing is with Eric Killmonger, N'Jaka, whatever, he was nobody. He was a guy.
Right. He had nothing to lose. Like
he had
said,
nothing to lose.
He had trained all his life.
Yeah.
For that moment.
Exactly. He had nothing, absolutely nothing to lose to, you know, get things done. Nobody was helping him. Hell, he didn't even have any parents. I mean, who knows what happened to his mom? Did they ever talk about that?
I think she might have died. Who knows?
And of course, his dad died.
Right. So literally, he was raised in the streets.
And T'Chaka. Yeah, he didn't take him. He could have helped him. You know, he was raised where he could have been raised with privilege.
Yeah.
They should have taken him. They should have taken the brother's body back and buried him in Wakanda tradition. And they should have taken the son back and raised him.
Yeah.
They should have.
But one of the favorite moments is that last line that Killmonger says about being buried at sea, like his ancestors, who chose death because they know there was far better than being held in bondage, which is a reference to the slavery that happened.
Were the ones that were lucky enough to choose death.
Right. And that, I think, really...
I mean, it sounds kind of bad for me to say that, but in reality, the people that were taken from their homeland and they were, like, kept aboard the ship, they were, like, if they survived the trip, which half of them did not, it was, like, disease and filth and everything that if they were able to choose to die in a reasonable manner, they would have probably jumped ship or tried to kill themselves in that way.
Right.
They had no options. They were chained down in a hold of a ship, like stacks of wood.
Right.
You know, one on top of another. And, you know, the fact that they were hardy, to get to the other side, that's one thing. You know,
right. Then there's
if they died aboard, that they probably not so much as like that they chose the death, but they were better off than the people who survived.
Yeah. But the thing is.
But no one should live like that.
This is the kind of stuff that you would never see on Iron Man or Captain America or even the Incredible Hulk dealing with.
No, because they're white.
Well, to a degree, it's because this is not their story.
Well, it's not T'Challa's story either.
No. But being that you have Wakanda in the middle of Africa, practically, that's their story.
It is in the middle of Africa.
Okay. What I'm saying is that you're not going to have the white hero be the white savior of Wakanda.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That's fine. Yeah.
So that's where it's like, thank God, at least they'd get that point across. Because
but the funny thing is that when at the end, we can talk about this, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Bucky.
Yeah.
When Shuri was there, and she called him Sergeant Barnes, and he said Bucky, which I'm like, I would have said, like, huh? But anyway, it's like, what kind of a name is Bucky? Is that with that, they called him the White Wolf.
Right.
The kids called him the White Wolf. And he's like, oh, well, but the thing is that the White Wolf in the Black Panther comics is the head of the security, the head of the police, who's also black.
Right.
Not white.
In that respect, you know, I know they change things around and it happens. But I was just thinking of in my head about the White Wolf calling him the White Devil, like it did in Ace Ventura.
Yay. It's so, like, did you just call me the White Devil? It's what they know you as.
So just to kind of end things soon, overall.
Oh,
what was your impression?
There's a Black Panther TV miniseries with Digimon Hansu.
Yeah, but that was on BET. We saw that briefly, and the only negative thing
Speaking
I would say
of
about
Gladiator,
that
he was in Gladiator.
Yeah, okay. The only negative thing about that it was that because it was done short, I think the episodes were only like 15 to 20 minutes long, and they broke up like one episode.
Are you talking about the mocap one?
No, but it was an animated series that was on BET.
Oh, that's why I didn't know it.
Yeah. So
the mocap movie, that was weird.
No, I know. So
we didn't talk about the women.
The Dora Milaje.
Danai Gurira, who is Okoye. Okoye?
Yeah, she's Michonne.
Okay. No, it's not that. It's just I'm trying to figure out how to pronounce her name without sounding stupid. That her parents were from Zimbabwe, but she was born in Iowa. Hey, just like Captain Kirk.
There we go. All right, so the Dora Milaje, which we didn't get to talk about.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the strongest elements in which we would have women warriors. I mean, it's great that we see Wonder Woman and we see the island of Themyscira and all the other Amazons.
Yeah.
Marvel has yet to showcase anything like that. And thank God we had the Black Panther to show that. But what I loved about this is that they were on par with the Black Panther as their equal. He wasn't dominating them. They have their own code. And
well, he wasn't exactly their equal.
Well, no, no. And talking
as a Black Panther, well, basically, okay, as their king.
Right. But he would treat them with respect, not
of
as.
Of course, because that was his army. That right. was like his personal army.
Right.
They were always, always with the Black Panther at any given time with T'Challa because they were his bodyguards.
Right. So as opposed to, oh, well, let's make it all guys. No. These women are amazing. That's yeah. the whole point that that Marvel is missing with female characters.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, we'll get a Miss Marvel, a Captain Marvel in a couple of years.
Yeah,
but
potato wet dream.
But no, but
the thing is that every single Marvel character or every single DC character, I mean, even Wonder Woman, has like the whole like men's couch potato wet dream outfit going on, you know,
with
the boobs sticking out, the gigantic boobs, the, excuse me, I'm going to say this, camel toe, the outfit. No, seriously, who would be able to fight with like something that looks like a bikini, okay, in a fight against like all these villains and everything like that without every freaking thing on them popping off, okay? Not to mention, I'm sorry, but see, men don't have big boobs. All right? That doesn't happen. And you know what happens when women have big boobs? Their back hurts. They fall over. They are unbalanced, especially when they weren't born with them. They're, for a woman, if you're looking at any of these like superhero women, right? Yeah, they might be muscular and everything like that. But if they have boobs the size of their head and two of them, those things are not light. They are heavy. Okay? And if they have a small frame, shut up. Stop smiling at me. If they have a small frame, you know what happens? They will fall over. I'm not kidding about this. If you have a woman who has size like double D or worse, triple D boobs, and they were born with them, they suffer from severe back pain most of their lives. They have to wear gigantic brassieres. And if they're not the kind of person who wants to like show it all off to everybody, they have to deal with it. Okay? And that's why there's a lot. That's why they created breast reduction surgery. Okay? Because it hurts. You see them running? No. You know why? Because you can't run with giant boobs. Okay? You can't.
But if you're a woman with superpowers, wouldn't that balance out?
Maybe. But also could maybe that maybe you would like dip lower to the ground than the front part of you. Okay?
Maybe.
But the fact is that you don't need that. Women do not need to be depicted as these like, you know, porn stars.
Right, I agree.
In these tiny little outfits. You never see the men wearing, you know, not completely covered up. Okay, yeah, maybe they show like the definition and things like that. The Hulk doesn't count because he can't wear clothes. Okay.
Well, you saw his green butt crack in Thor Ragnarok.
Thanks for the detail. Yeah, I'm trying to forget that.
And his green dong. I can't see that.
Shut up. Anyway, so what I'm saying is the fact that women do not need to be depicted like these porn stars, okay?
Right.
And yet that's what they always are. They're always depicted like that. While the men are completely covered up. It's like Dancing with the Stars. You ever notice like how skimpy the women's outfits are? The men are covered from head to toe, but the women are wearing these skimpy little like scotch tape glittered outfits.
No, I agree. And even if you look at Wonder Woman, who is directed by Patty Jenkins.
Yeah.
Look at the Amazons and how they're dressed on her movie.
Yeah.
Look at Zack Snyder's Justice League movie and look at the Amazons and how they're dressed.
Oh, I never noticed that. Okay.
They have more exposed midriff.
Took the midriff off?
Yeah. So that's exposed as opposed to the full armor plating they would have.
Yeah, because they're an unsword fight with somebody.
Wonder Woman.
No, of course they would never try to like cut them through the middle because, that would be unfair. You know, because of course, why would they need the midriff armor to protect their bellies from being sliced open and having their guts hanging out? Because nobody's going to hit them there.
Well, that's because they're looking at their bosoms.
Which are supposed to be covered up. So there's nothing to look at.
Or if you want to elaborate. Real Amazons, you only have one. So you'd be like, what happened to the other one?
Because they.
I know when they fire their arrows. I know. I think you're so smart.
Yes, I am. Thank you. Thanks for acknowledging that, finally.
You make me laugh.
Well, then my journey here is complete. Anyway, now.
No, the circle is now complete. Now I am
blah,
the master.
Blah, 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 blah. Anyway.
All right, I got to get ready for work soon.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You don't need to work.
Blah, 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 blah. All right.
Anyway.
So one of the highlights for me, again, is Adora Milaje.
Mm-hmm.
I think also There are strong women characters. Suri, T'Challa, T'Chaka's sister, I think, is fantastic. T'Challa's sister is fantastic.
Yes.
Because normally...
And she's funny as hell.
She is. And I adored her.
I like the part where it's like, you know, like, oh, you bought me another white boy to fix. Yeah. That was great.
So there's lots to really be happy about. And there's a lot of undercurrent that reflects what's going on with society today and the struggles that we're all going through.
Another thing, too, is that they can fix things on their own. Like with the Amazons, they could fix things on their own.
Yeah.
But like I remember in like, say, a lot of people got upset like with the Avatar.
Yeah.
That it took, okay, they've been living on this world for like millions of years, whatever, right? And then all of a sudden, like the US military shows up, and then this guy, white guy, gets the avatar of another one of the, I don't remember Navi. What the name of the people?
The Navi.
The what?
Navi.
The Navi people. And he is like now living in one of their bodies and things like that. Now they know he's a stranger anyway. But the thing is, all of a sudden, wow, this complete stranger is able to, you know, land this giant flying creature that only the father could, and all of a sudden he's like the prophecy and blah blah blah. You know, that's annoying. Just like I see that in like a lot of other movies where like all of a sudden these people who've lived here, and all of a sudden it takes the white man who goes and does this and he can do this and the other people can and blah blah blah. You know, and it's just like it's the same thing that we're talking about. There's always like, you know, that they have to save the day. And like, why do they have to save the day?
Right. Like Danny Rand from the Iron Fist series, who is spotting all this Chinese.
Iron Fist is originally an Asian man.
But he was. That's where he's I know, from. But. No, he's not.
Yeah.
In the comics,
he's Asian.
Okay. Well, then in the series, he's not.
Yeah, duh.
Okay. No, because he's spotting all this Chinese philosophy to an Asian woman that I'm just like, really?
Well, I mean, if she was born here, maybe she doesn't know it.
Yeah, but it's just a little bit more, you know, listen to me. For I am the white man and I know all. Even though I am, you know, you come from a culture that I came from, I know more than you.
Yeah.
That's the kind of arrogance that I just really, really hate. So that didn't happen here because I think that would have been a big mistake if that was the case. So, but on a scale of.
I mean, if people are still mad about the whole, like, Scarlett Johansson being the.
Right, then the
Ghost in the Shell thing, yeah. Which I agree with, you know. So. I didn't see the movie, okay, so.
But if you watch the movie, I think
she does a good job and things like that. I mean, it's not like she said, oh, no, I think that you should choose me because I'm white or anything like that. I mean, it was the directors and whoever who chose her.
Right, and
I mean, they have other actors who, like, opt out of things like that.
I know.
But it doesn't mean just because they opt out doesn't mean they're not going to choose somebody else who's white.
I know. That's another day for.
And the thing is that they can't say is because it's the whole. You know, they needed her name.
Yes, they did.
No, but that's the thing. See, the Ghost in the Shell had been around for years.
I know.
And they have plenty of Asian actors that have, like, just like Michelle Yeoh, whatever. She makes money. She's a well-known name.
Okay, but let's hold that conversation for another day.
Blah, blah, blah.
Okay. So, on a scale of 1 to 5.
Yes.
Where would you rate Black Panther?
10.
Okay.
I don't like being pigeonholed.
Because you're a pigeon in a hole.
That's ridiculous.
And your top 5 overall Marvel movies, where does Black Panther fit? Does it fit in the top 5?
Duh. But the thing is that I don't really watch a hell of a lot of Marvel movies. I mean, because...
You've seen all of them.
But the thing is that... Okay. There's only like a handful that I like.
Okay.
Okay. I like the original Avengers movie because I thought they did a really good job. I like the Iron Man movies.
All of them? Or just...
Well, which one was the second one?
The second one?
Yeah.
The second one?
Yeah.
That's called
What happened in the second one?
That was with Whiplash.
Oh. That wasn't so great. But I like the first one and the third one. Kind of like with Kung Fu Panda. Don't talk to me about, do not bother me about that. Moving along. I haven't seen all of Logan yet.
Okay.
Logan, wait, when's the last one where he's old?
It's Logan.
Logan. Okay. I haven't seen Logan at all then. Which is the one where he's in Japan and the guy's trying to steal his power.
The Wolverine.
The Wolverine. I saw part of that. That was okay. But it wasn't one of my favorites.
Okay. But is it a top five?
I don't think I even like that many.
Okay. Is it a top 10?
I think I like 3 or 4 Marvel movies out of like the 10 million that they've made.
Okay. So is it a top 10?
Well, I'm going to compare it to Wonder Woman. So I'd say like definitely, which is the highest one? 5 or 1?
Oh, 1 being the top.
Okay, then it would be 1.
Okay. I definitely would put it in my top 5.
Or maybe number 2. Because, I mean, I really did like The Avengers. It came out, it worked really well.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike the second
Avengers. No, I agree.
Which is sad. Oh, and we didn't even talk about Thor.
Oh, we're not talking about Thor. I forgot about Thor. Thor's another day.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's still Marvel.
I know, but I got to go to work now.
Whatever.
It's been longer than I expected.
That's because it's me.
I know.
It take a long time.
I got to edit a whole lot.
Blah, blah, blah.
All right. So on that note, we're happy about Black Panther overall.
Yeah. You didn't make me burp on the microphone. No. And you didn't make me like barf on it by making me eat like the nasty jelly beans this time.
No, that'll be.
Thank you for not like, and thanks so much for like not editing that part out.
That was hysterical. That's comedy gold.
Not comedy gold.
Yes, it is. All right, so that's going to be an end to the podcast finally.
Yay.
So thank you, honey, for being on my podcast.
You're welcome.
So on that note, that's going to be the end of the podcast. So you can always email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. Send me your thoughts, your comments, your review of Black Panther.
And I'll how talk much about you that. Love and how much you love my work on his podcast and say how much you love his wife.
This is why I do way. The podcast alone. So on that, you can follow me on the various social networks.
I did not hear what you just said. I'm sure it wasn't nice.
But what's great about that is that I know you won't listen to my podcast, so you will never know what I just said. So...
And now you know why.
Thank you for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view.
Good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.